see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn, they got guns and tanks and lanes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see, it's going by the book. It's going by the book. Armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see, it's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus program, the show this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gamble. I am the host of this Watchmen for Jesus program, and you're welcome. You're welcome to also visit my website, watchmenforjesus.com, and I have a Facebook, Watchmen for Jesus, that I monitor daily. And I have this broadcast from 4 to 6 Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday. And at nighttime, 8 to 9, I got a Bible study. And this week, we've been talking about who the real tribes of Israel are and where they are located. They're not lost. They're not lost at all. Ones that know, they know who they are. If you got a question, then really inside, then you don't know. There's no question they know who the lost tribes of Israel are. They're not in Europe, and they're not in the United States. We're not the lost tribes of Israel. So, America, get over it. And they're certainly not Jehovah's Witnesses. We talk about that. We've been talking about it this week in Bible study. The lost tribes of Israel. Today and tomorrow, probably, I will continue talking about the veterans' genocide. That sounds a bit dramatic, does it not? Sensationalized veterans' genocide. What is this? Family, I've proven the past 12 sessions, I've been keeping track of them, I've done 12 now. That's virtually 24 hours of broadcasting to prove that us veterans are literally targeted. And what I spent really most of 12 sessions doing, 12 sessions, 12 broadcasts, is doing the best I can to explain and to show why the Illuminati, the secret societies, that they themselves are members of the veteran services, former veterans themselves, why they would target their own veterans. If you go back over those programs, you'll find it's true. And the evidence is clear. And the reasons why is laid out. What's the bottom line of why our own government, why the UK, why Russia, why Germany, why the country's hierarchy would actually target their own citizens? Subliminally. Why would the military just be used as cannon fodder in every country, in every war? Why? Is to set up a new world order in a phase-by-phase basis. Why would our own government, that's really controlled by the Vatican, controlled by the Illuminati, why would they target in a subtle way our own forces to set up the factors necessary to bring in the North American Union under the UN jurisdiction? They've built a sovereignty, family orientation, etc., up to 1950. Then the time came, as planned by Tavistock, behavioral think tank, to take it down. So they had to completely change, reorganize, restructure. The culture began in the late 50s, early 60s. And it began. Don't think for a second America's cultural revolution happened just by some trend all of a sudden. Some full moon just changed everybody's ideas. And drugs just happened to come flowing into America, and music just happened to be radicalized, rock and roll. Just all of a sudden, it all happened in one decade. Surely we're not that naive. It was planned that way. Since the 1920s and earlier. You see? And now they're cashing in on it. Damage has been done. Families have been destroyed. In ways that I've talked about over the past several years. And certainly this past year. Explain in detail how they've done it. And it's an incredible agenda. Some people get involved in it, and they find out how vast it is and just say, I am tired, and they quit. Others say, this is too nuts, this is crazy, it's impossible, and their mind just goes psst, like a vapor. Others say, it's too big, I'm going to join them. Well, I'm going to tell you, no matter what you think, they're going to lose. And it's supernatural. No human being could ever come up with this over a period of generations. Not possible. Families change, but not the elite families. They don't. They change, and the individuals of the families change. They die. JFK, even Bruce Lee was part, Bruce Lee, L-I. Look it up right now. While I'm talking, you all look up these names, and you'll find it's true. The L-I, capital L, little I, the Lee family in China. You find them linked up to Brick Spears, Aldo Brandini's. The Illuminati insiders, they've locked in the United States, bought our debt, and are moving in. 290 foreign trade zones throughout the United States. Even this little town of Mount Airy has one. And the Masons are tight in bed with them to destroy the local community businesses to bring in their outsiders. It's this way about every town that's significant in their agenda. You understand how detailed this goes? Well, when they bring in the UN administration, UN administrations, which was set up in 1972 by Nixon. Oh, yeah. Executive order. They'd planned the North American Union to start taking place, to be set up little by little. Family, there's so much going on. But everything they do, it will fail. It won't be by human means, though. It's a supernatural war that we're in. Jesus is the only way, literally. No space aliens. No R2-D2. UFOs. Area 51. Dan Brown. All this stuff is going to be put into a bundle up like the twigs and brick and sticks and will be burned. They will not succeed in the long term. It's not possible. The created can never defeat the creator. That's a lesson they're going to have to learn the hard way. But in the meantime, we're told what will happen. You'll find it in the book of Revelation, Isaiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel. It's in the Bible. It's going by the book. And they will never be able to override it. It's not possible. Today, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast now. And I will begin with some commentary. I will then go into the attack on American veterans, because they know we'll never accept a UN administration. They knew this years ago, so that's why they brought the UN in secretly, and the Chinese military and the Russian military already here. Deep underground military bases, abandoned bases, are not really abandoned. Because our leaders, like all the other leaders, do not work for the American people. They work for the Illuminati and the Vatican to bring in a new world order. It's all for them. That's what it's all about. And they're already on the losing team. But family, there's going to be a cleansing. There's going to be a tribulation to come. And then there'll be peacetime. Then there'll be a major tribulation. That'll begin the 7 years. Family, I'm not going there right now, but I want to talk specifically about attack on our American veterans. I'm not going to go into the bigger picture yet. And then when I talk about the attack on American veterans, later on in the broadcast, I'm going to talk about a bigger picture of what's called the Hegelian dialectic. And some information that I haven't told y'all before. And to show you how they operate. And I will tell you very quickly, how they convinced tens of thousands of elite to join them. I will tell you how they've done it. I have their exact plan. How they fooled people. I have that plan before me here. Documented. That's what I'm going to talk about today. And remember I've said, if you're new here, that not to believe a word I say. Do not believe what I say. But challenge everything I say. Don't just sit there and disbelieve it and just go away. Don't sit there and say, oh, wow, ooh, ooh, ow, ow. I didn't know that and he's telling the truth. No. You say, okay, that's okay. You write it down and you go back and research it yourself. Just do it. And if you'd like, pull up another window, as they call it, on your screen. If you're listening through my website or you listen through TalkStream Live, pull up another window. And when I say something like, oh, I don't believe that, plug it in while I'm talking. Do it. Actually do it. And see for yourself. You take the action. You do the research. Come out of the fog. Take responsibility. Take action. Go after it yourself. And find the knowledge. You need to do it on your own. Just like you seek for Jesus on your own. Don't let some preacher lead you there. You. And Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, you seek a personal relationship with Him. The preachers, rabbis, and popes, and priests, they got their own problems. You need to seek Jesus Christ between you and Him, a personal relationship. And the only truth you're going to find is in the King James Bible. And that is by evidence that they have never refuted over 400 years. Ever. They've tried They always fail. If you know your Bible, they're counting on you not knowing it. Because every time you know your Bible and they try to scramble it up, you can unravel them every single time. I don't care if it's a professor from Harvard or Yale or Stanford or George Washington University. It means nothing. They will never outsmart the Savior. They can never outsmart the Creator. He gave you the Word of God through the King James Bible. It stands to this day and will stand until the great falling away takes place. And that will be their undoing. Family, hang in there. Dedicate the broadcast. Lord, we thank you today. We come together in this broadcast, Father, in our Bible studies. We come before you, Lord, and lay this program before you and dedicate it to you. Lord, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. Father, remind us supernaturally in our soul, Father, in our heart, of anything we've left untouched, unsaid, that may be holding, blocking our prayers. Father, to teach us forgiveness, give us patience. Teach us about self-forgiveness, forgiveness of our enemies. And Lord, to walk the path straight and narrow. Father, we call upon you to answer our prayers for those we've prayed for in the past. Father, you know who they are, the healings, the families to come back together, the Freemasons to renounce their blood oath and no longer become a slave to these cult groups. The Father, they'll be free through the truth and to get off these blood oaths that they've taken that causes secrets to be kept in the families. Father, there's no secrets to be kept. Everything's out in the open. Father, we pray for an awakening in these leaders of the countries, for the churches to come out of the Babylon, as they're taught, come out of the control of the government through the 501c3, through the council's committees that they're attached to. Father, to have them escape and get away and to teach the truth and bring those and their congregations up close and personal to the saving grace of Jesus. And we do pray for discernment and wisdom in these coming end times to cut through and see through the deception that's being put out. And Lord, we do pray for our enemies as well. We ask in order to help, Father, we call upon you to strip down the protection of those in the Wicca. The Wicca that's in government, the Wicca that's in the military, the Wicca that's in the business industries. To tear down their protection hedge of Satan. Expose them to the world, Lord. And those, Father, you know the heart, to bind the Holy Spirit to their heart and guide them to your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray for our families to be strengthened, the veterans to be protected, acknowledged, and divine appointments to redirect their thinkings of suicide, to shut down the technology causing these thoughts. And the pharmacy, the drugs are being used against them to render them null and void, and the vaccines and all these chemicals in their bodies to render it null and void. And Father, protect the children against these vaccines. Those in the rehabbers and nursing homes, the mental institutions, the ones incarcerated, to lead them to your Son Jesus. And Father, we lift up to you again, 2 Chronicles 7:14. The Father, this nation needs to humble itself and cry unto the Lord to lead us on the right path and not fall away. But Lord, if we do, Lord, to guide us in the right path individually, that Father, we can share the gospel to those in the divine appointments. Father, in all these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Then when you have a strong prayer going, when you have a strong move going toward the Savior and toward witnessing to others, those that have the strong move, strong guidance, you may experience interruptions. A phone call, noise, something to redirect your prayers. People won't even know it that's doing it, won't even have a clue. Every time you start to get close and get that prayer pushed through that barrier to heaven with your faith being pushing it, as breaking through, Satan can see it. He can't stop it, but he can redirect it with all kinds of distractions. You notice this to happen in your Bible studies, in your Bible reading, in witnessing to someone. You're on a witness level, you're really getting into it, and somebody come up and interrupt you. Family, that's not accidental. That is not accidental. You have to train yourself to ignore it, redirect it, and stay focused. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Ask yourself, though, one of the major distractions is ambition and pride. Being a former U.S. Marine myself, that's completely contrary to what I was taught in my mindset. Ambition. Go for the best. Number one. Number two is worthless. Number one. Not everybody can be number one. So if you're not number one, you can't have 15 teams number one. It don't work that way. Somebody got to lose. 14's got to lose. They've got us so tied up in ourselves, we've lost sight of the truth. And then the other side of it is laziness. One extreme to the other. So is ambition wrong? Pride? It's wrong to be driven to, is it wrong to be driven to push to be the best? It can be. It can be. Why did pride goes before the fall? The difference between right and wrong ambition is in your goal and your motivation, whether it's for God's glory or our own. In a sermon, Victoria Osteen, the prosperity gospel couple, and that includes Joyce Myers and Copeland and Benny Hinn and a whole lot of them, Pat Robinson, all of them. They're Freemasons and Eastern Stars. Billy Graham is a Freemason. They're all Freemasons, Eastern Stars. Yeah, they are, I'm sorry, but they are. Ambition is number one. Victoria Osteen says, do good for yourself and God will be happy, unquote. As in a sermon, she said. I'm not going to play it now like I normally play things, but I got to get moving here. You can look it up yourself. You can find it. That was a test to see where people were, to see what the reaction would be, to see if the population had been conditioned that they would accept, you know, they're right. That's what that was. That was a test case. They wanted to see how people would react. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, you have Paul, who wrote 1 Thessalonians. He tells us that Christians are to live lives to please God. And for some, the drive to please Him is instant transformation at the time of salvation. For others, the transformation is full of stutter steps and misstarts. And boy, I'll tell you about that one. That's me. Like an OA model. Putt, putt, putt in wintertime. I finally got started and took to broadcasting 5 years ago to solidify it. But talking about stutter arts and missed starts and all this, stutter steps, that was me for decades. Whether change happens instantly or gradually, a Christian, not Christianity, but a Christian who follows Jesus. Not a Christian who follows Christianity, a church and a preacher, rabbi, a pope, but a Christian, someone who follows Jesus. Done. That's it. No religion, no four walls, no favorite preacher, teacher, whatever. Because they're human too and they got their own problems. It's between you and Jesus. This pursuit of God's goals, not selfish ones. We're taught to do selfish ones. So in a workplace, we ask ourselves, how will this job change, this thing I'm going to do, help me serve and glorify God? That's the real question. How will this operation help me serve others and glorify God? How will this action help serve others and glorify God? See, ambition that's oriented toward God is focused outwardly on Him. And we know that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are all one and the same, with different missions, granted. But they're all the same. Jesus Christ, when He was the only begotten Son of the living God, was God who was incarnated into human flesh. Died, resurrected, in a glorified state, the body structure changed. But He's still Jesus Christ. Because He intermingled with disciples all through for 40 days before He ascended into heaven, and He will come back the same way. And I'm going to tell you something. It won't be coming back in a UFO. Not the real one. But ambition oriented toward God is focused outwardly on Him and others, always asking how He has gifted us and wants us to use us. The gifts He gives you are there to glorify Him. The gifts that Satan and the fallen angels give those that accept Him or to glorify themselves. And it's called humanism. Witchcraft. Sorcery. And it glorifies the individual. That's what that's all about. And by doing that, in essence, you're glorifying Satan. By glorifying ourselves. And humanism is the tricky way He's pulling us in. Every school is a school of humanism. That's confirmed. Every college and every university is based on the curriculum of socialism and Marxism that we didn't even know. I've got evidence from their own quotes, the names, dates, techniques, and how they've done it. Since 1908 until today, people have not put I'm not going to give the quotes right now because that, again, will digress. But in the past broadcast, I've done it already. What I'm telling you is the truth. Paul suggested that we work with sincerity of heart. And fearing God, and not in trembling fear. There's a little bit there, though, because for him that can kill both the body and the soul. But fearing God out of love and respect is what we're talking about here. Colossians 3:22. whatever we're doing in the boardroom or on the docks or wherever we're in the auditorium, wherever it is, wherever you're working, we're to serve as if doing it for God. Colossians 3:3-24. So, in conclusion, we glorify God most and enjoy God most when we work with fervor and excellence for His pleasure, not ours. So ambition is not wrong. It's just where it's placed. For His service. For the service of others. Not self-service. Not personal gain. Because He deserves our all. So a little prayer might be, Lord, help me to apply zest to my work efforts that I might please You. I offer my actions and words today as testimony to bring You glory. Use me today to point others to You. Amen. We go smaller trying to be great. God will supply you what you need. He looks at the heart. And through the good heart comes the fruits. He will change you, let me tell you. But He waits for the heart, and you have to be patient. Now, moving toward my objective today, the attack on the veterans. And I mentioned the attack on the veterans is designed to not only weaken the military forces. You're like, what? Now, whoa, hold on a minute. Weaken the military forces? We got the enemy on breathing down our neck. World War III is down the road. Russia's over here. Russia's over there. China's over here. China's over there. We got the Middle East busting up. Families are all working together. They're all working together to head to the New World Order. So America is the last standing bastion. And then Bill Cooper talked about this long ago. And it was planned that way. It's not that we're the last standing bastion to stand. No, it was planned for us to be that. In 1950s to take us down now by changing the culture, working from the inside, just like Rome. Take us down from the... Nobody could come across us. Somebody come to the United States, they'd never leave alive. When we're in our prime. Yamamoto said there was a gun behind every blade of grass. He's about right, too. You got people out got 20 guns, 30, 50 guns. Now, I don't know why they're going to shoot them all. Everybody show you. Well, I got my weapon collection here. Yeah, I got this. They'll show you that. You know, this one, 15 of them. But you can't shoot but one. And when you run out of bullets, it's not going to shoot either. People keep forgetting that little point right there. You know, the rifles and the 9mm and all this other stuff, 22s, I don't care what you got. They kind of stop when you run out of ammunition. They don't work anymore. You know what I mean? Everybody feels safe because they got a gun. Okay, great. Yeah, feel safe. Home protection. And they work. They have worked in the past. Just by locking and loading a round has stopped many home invasion. Just by hearing the clip racking around, man, that guy's busting their butt to get out. But when helter-skelter comes and you run out of ammo, you got a big problem on your hands. People aren't thinking about this. They're not thinking about when they run out of food. Buy your freeze-dried food. Get your bug-out bag ready to go. Where are you going to go? Anyway. How many of you can live off the land, really? Without bumping into somebody along the way. Mm-hmm. And you've got all this canned food in your house, but you're going to bug out? Something is not matching here. You know, some people's not thinking. They're not thinking past their nose. Family, New World Order is coming. Jesus Christ will take it down. It's been delayed so many times. And not by any one person or any group or whatever. Because it wasn't in God's time. God's way ahead of them. Circumstances were presented that will not allow them to achieve the world order, given the other side thinking they're in control of it, and there's not. God's in total control. When the last person says and takes Jesus Christ as Savior, it's all going to break loose. But in the meantime, it's got us distracted. So let's eliminate some of these distractions. The one thing that is true, and I have talked about this all week, actually, being former military, you generals and colonels might want to listen, and those ones that listen, you ones that don't know, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to believe it, but it's actually true, is that all wars were ever fought have all been pre-planned. The outcome has already been determined before you even fight the war. That's a fact. Battles, don't matter whether you win the battles or not. Don't matter whether you win the Iwo Jima and whatever, Tarawa. Doesn't matter what battles you win. The end of the result of the war is already determined. And they do it by rules of engagement. World War I and World War II were planned before 1871. And the enemies were already determined. The outcome was already determined. World War I just simply was moved into World War II. World War II didn't turn out the way they expected. Well, we still lost it. We brought 10,000 Nazis over here, and they helped form an Operation Paperclip, the United Nations, our space program. Psychological warfare upon the citizens took place, took off, over Nazis, 10,000 experts. We just brought the enemy over here. Don't matter whether we win the battles. Six phases are supposed to take over the United States. And the United States was going to be in a dictatorship, confirmed March of 4th, 1939 by FDR. That's what he was going to do. He failed in doing that. Yamamoto failed in taking the West Coast, but not because of something we did or he did. He just stopped. Hitler was working with Churchill. They were working behind the scenes together. In the fifth phase, to take over Europe. Because you see, Churchill and Adolf Hitler were second cousins. Oh, yes, sir, they were. You see, you'll not find that in history books. Churchill was a Knight of Malta. He was a murderer. Literally. A mass murderer. 1,201 lives aboard the Lusitania. He upset that up with J.P. Morgan, to kill them off, to justify us getting into war. Now, you see, that's the point I'm trying to get across to y'all. It's not what you think is going on in the books of history books and military strategy. It's worthless. So what are they doing to our veterans? They're causing them to commit suicides. It's orchestrated. 22 to 26 suicides per day. 80% of them hasn't seen combat. Oh, how about that? What about post-traumatic stress from combat? 60% of those has never been deployed. 15,000 sexual assaults, male on male, occurred in 2012 in the study. Remember I talked yesterday about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, homosexuality, 1993. And then later Obama said, now you can tell. That was all planned out to divide the forces. That was the purpose of it. And it worked. And when you've got the rape of male on male, the shame is massive. Antidepressants. Post-traumatic stress happens from being raped by other men. Gang raped in barracks. That produces the same thing as you would if you're getting shot at in a war. Women being raped, they get post-traumatic stress in every which way. It's not just America, family. In the UK, between 60,000 and 85,000 women and 8,000 to 10,000 men were raped in the UK every year. One in three are abuses in the UK. An average of two women a week are killed by abusive partners or husbands. Now, y'all getting the picture here? Family, this is demonic. This is based on drugs, antidepressants. Drugs in the body and just an out of control socialized process. It's been developed over the years in all sorts of ways. Video games, education, pornography, drugs primarily. Changing the social structure of male and female, respect, etc., by design. To fulfill yourself, there you go, and not think about anybody else. All this is part of the plan. It's working. So focusing on the veterans, goes like this. I'm going to talk about the Gideon dialectic a little later. Ask some people to remind me of that. There's a study done in 2009, 160 active duty suicides. 239 suicides within the total army, including reserves. 146 active duty deaths from drug overdoses and high-risk behavior. And 1,713 suicide attempts. All these are going to have post-traumatic stress. And from the drugs, you've got out-of-character behavior like domestic violence. It's the same thing in other countries. And you know that 36% of the suicides were troops who were never deployed in this study? That should be surprising. Unprecedented suicide rates are accompanied by unprecedented rise in psychoactive drug rates among active duty troops. Between 18 and 34 years of age, which was up 85% since 2003, according to the Military Health Plan, TRICARE, since 2001, 73,103 prescriptions for Zoloft have been dispensed, 38,199 for Prozac, 17,830 for Paxil, 12,047 for Cymbalta in 2009, and that includes family prescriptions. And all of the darn drugs carry a suicide warning label. Huh? There's a problem there. And these so-called no sprays to curb suicides, they're going to have antidepressants in them. anything in them is going to be bad, whether it's some kind of a energy prescription to boost your energy. That's going to be bad. That's what this energy drink's all about, isn't it? Or antidepressant to calm your nerves. Either way, it's going to be bad. Look up pharmacy. And the root word of pharmacy is pharmakia. Pharmakia. Pharmakia is Greek. And when you look up pharmakia in Greek, you know what it means? Sorcery. How about that, huh? Alchemy. You know, in addition to the LEAP and the, all these antidepressants and prescriptions for the, what they call the anticonvulsants, Topamax and Nurtin rose 56% in the same group since 2005, said Navy Times. And the drugs the FDA warned last couple years ago double suicide thinking in patients. Now, those drugs I just mentioned, you're going to find those lying psychiatrists in high schools giving that to your children for this fake ADHD nonsense condition. There's no such thing as ADHD. That's a lie to justify giving your kids these antidepressants. And the children that's been doing the killing and mass shootings, all of them have been on the antidepressants. Some years ago, reports from out of Fort Bragg, in fact, this year that they're saying it, 4,994 troops, gosh, at Fort Bragg were on antidepressants. Fayetteville Observer reported this. 664 were on antipsychotics, and many soldiers take more than one type of medication. Some take as many as 20, 15. And depression itself is a risk factor for suicide. So it's not always real, always possible to tell, you know, if the disease is or the drug is at fault. Maybe both. Many people believe that the dramatic and this rise in suicide rates and psychoactive drug rates are correlated. Senator Ben Cardin said, I quote, "Intuitively, it just tells you that there's a connection," unquote. A Democrat from Maryland. It's not all. There's troops also may be taking Chantix, Chantix. It's an anti-smoking drug linked to the violence and self-harm. So linked to it that Secretary of VA at one time, James Peake, was forced to defend its use, even in drug trials before the House Committee on Veterans Affairs in the year 2008. Quote, "If you know the drug induces suicidal thoughts," unappeased committee, their chair guy, Bob Filner, the Democrat from California, asked Republican Filner, "Why don't you just stop?" Unquote. You know, even widely prescribed asthma drugs like Singular and Advair can be linked to suicide, says the FDA. Talking about young people's deaths. Now, you take those darn drugs and you mix them with mood stabilizers, insomnia, pain pills, anti-anxiety, antipsychotic pills, combinations that have never been tested for safety. They have drugs now, according to Dugan, who works for Google, where they put microchips in them. It's been going on for a long time. And nanobot technology in the vaccines. They're trying their level best to eliminate the effectiveness of our military. in every way they can. And these lion generals, and the ones that's not lion are lazy. And the lazy ones, and the ones that's not taking the time to find out are going along with it. Some of them know about it and say, man, it's too big for me. I just want to get my retirement and get out of here. So nothing's being done. They've got these committees going to try to curb suicides by Paul Rykoff, who's a former vet, by the way. How they become turncoats befuddles my mind. He's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. And because none of the vets have control and clout, knows about the CFR, have not demanded he be taken out. But then again, if there was one put there doing the job, he'd be slowed down. Links between suicide and murder-suicide and the antidepressants have long been recognized. But not everybody on these drugs will be suicide risk, but the danger is serious enough that the automatic knee-jerk military prescribing of the drugs should be investigated. You had a veteran, Tracy Johnson. She was a healthy 19-year-old. No mental problems. Hung herself during the Lilly trials of Cymbalta in their own clinic in 2004. Red Lake shooter Jeff Wise killed 10 in the Minnesota Indian Reservation in 2005. He just upped his Prozac. Virginia Tech shooter Cho Sing-Hue, whatever, was also on psychoactive medication, according to news reports. And you know Americans? They've doubled the antidepressants in 1999. At 10% of the population, or 27 million people take them, or more. Suicides climbed by 5% since 1999, and 16% in middle-aged adults. It's not just America. Because it actually doubled, the suicide rates doubled in Japan since these SSRIs were introduced. It's not just military deaths as well. It also affects the civilian side. There's a 54-year-old respiratory patient at one time. One example, with a breathing tube and an oxygen tank. No previous criminal record. Held up a bank in Mobile, Alabama. She'd gone off for antidepressants. An enraged man in Australia. Off his antidepressants. He chased down his mailman, threatened to cut his throat for bringing him junk mail. Now, they can affect you. With the, and I talked about the ELF transmission, microwave technology, by increasing the ELF transmissions to 11 to 12 hertz, can cause the same reaction. Now you add the drugs with it, you got a serious problem. Family, seek Jesus Christ. Rest in His love. Rest in His power. This is where it comes from. The power comes from Him. The evil comes from Satan. It's a supernatural world we live in right now. These drugs open up portals to the body. Where God's spirit is not there, Satan fills the vacuum. It's what it all boils down to. People don't like to hear that. That's a solution. You know, in a 30-day period that went on study, a 60-year-old grandmother in Seattle killed 3 family members and herself. A disc jockey in Bristol, UK, set himself on fire. And Exeter, UK, a man determined to have stabbed himself in the heart. All were on antidepressants. Family, people just don't do this from a humanistic point of view, human attitude. This is supernatural. Self-destruction, cutting, is opening up portals to the supernatural. That's what this is all about. During the 2008-2009 time period, in the month of September, legal proceedings were against two mothers and a father charged with killing their own children. These kind of things aren't, well, obviously not normal. And different drugs have different effects. Family, stay off these darn drugs. That's the solution part of it. These are bad news, obviously. Negative press. But family, you got to know the truth. It's not always in the lilies. You got to know where the enemy lies. No pun intended. How about the North Carolina pilot on Zoloft? He's saying, "I'm going down for the last time," in the cockpit recorder before he crashed his plane in June. And the mayor of Coppell, Texas, Jane Peters, who killed herself and her daughters in July over the grief of losing her husband. Police found antidepressants in her home. Family, these drugs open up portals. Demons come inside and affect the body. That's what happens. If you've got the Holy Spirit in there, that's not going to happen. You know, a guy by the name of Gary Collis, Minnesota family practitioner, in an op-ed written after Iraq veteran Matthew Magzias killed his pregnant wife, their 13-month-old daughter, their dogs, and himself in Wisconsin around August of 2009. He said, quote, "Nobody in the media, to my knowledge, had the courage to report what the drugs were, nor have they interviewed the physician for his clinic to find out the rationale for prescribing drugs that have common violence-inducing effects with black box warnings," and stating that in the preceding information, he writes, "Therefore, nothing has been learned from this important teachable moment, probably because revealing the common reality of prescription drug-induced violence would be economically harmful for the sacred cows of big pharma and big medicine. But it goes beyond economics. It goes to taking their soul." I'll look at the big picture. And that is the big picture. The money they own anyway. It's about taking their soul. That's what this is all about. Retired Colonel Bart Billings, he was a former Army psychologist who testified before Congress, said, I quote, "I feel flat out that psychiatrists are directly responsible for deaths in our military. For suicides," in a March Marine Times article, quote, "I think it's criminal what they're doing," unquote. But it comes from a higher up, by the way. But the remarks of Katie Bagosi, wife of Marine Sergeant Tom Bagosi, took his own life in May, about 2009, I believe it was prescribed in medication Nurotin, might be the most persuasive of all. Article called "Prescription for Tragedy" in the current National Journal. She says that her husband told her before his death, quote, "It all started to get worse when I got on this medication. Looking back, that was the beginning of the end. You see, this is not accidental. The Joint Chiefs, they know all about this. All this I'm describing you now was in 2009 and 2010. And nothing's changed. It's just gotten worse. I don't mean to bring all this negativity to the station. But family, you got to know that there's a problem. Before you solve any problem, you got to know that there is one. There's people out there helping each other. There's folks in the Veterans Administration that are pushing the packages through. There's folks in the Veterans Administration, too, that are holding them back. And the ones pushing them through are trying to get to the ones holding them back. And there's a battle going on in the VA of good people and bad people. In every organization, that's how it is. In October of 2010, there's a report that said that Air Force medical facilities stopped vaccinating against anthrax on October 26, 2010, after officials determined that many treatment centers administered expired vaccines earlier in the same month. There's a memo that came out issued in October 26th, and Air Force Brigadier General Mark Ediger, he's commander of the Air Force Medical Operations Center in San Antonio, Texas. He said the stand down would remain in place until treatment centers could confirm the vaccine stock that they had was current. But Ediger also said the confirmation that corrective actions had been taken were to be sent to the AFMOA by close of business October 27, 2010. They've given them expired anthrax vaccines. I played you before the Halliburton attack on our troops in Iraq by the whistleblower said that they had no chlorine in the water for a long time, which means they were bringing back pathogens that would not only hurt them but also their families. This is the plan. This is not accidental. The attack on our military is massive. And I've tried to explain why to set us up for the North American Union and to reduce the amount of resistance that they might run into. That's what it's all about. It's not just drugs. It's the biological effects of electromagnetic radiation, radio waves and microwaves. Eurasia, communist countries, show that microwave frequencies, similar to those of cellular phones, causes health problems in blood, cardiovascular system, cells, central nervous system, digestive system, glands, the metabolism, reproduction, visual system, internal sound perception, electromagnetic energy. And I've already talked to you all about the voice-to-skull technology, where the troops, the veterans, are keeping to themselves the fact they're hearing voices in their head. And they are led to believe, or they believe themselves, to be kind of because of the post-traumatic stress. No, it's technology driving them to this. Antidepressants, ELF transmission. That is an attack on our veterans and citizens of every country. It's not just America. Leading to the New World Order. Now, you're probably saying, we're just hearing this gamble guy talk, and that's all. We're not hearing it from anybody else. You know, who's he? Who's he think he is? Well, how about one that's been a national security advisor to about five or six presidents, going back to that peanut farmer named Carter, that Satanist, And Clinton, another one. Oh, absolutely. Oh, there's no question about that. They're lying to the American public every day that they were burned. They took a blood oath to Satan, to the Freemasonry. The first 3 degrees of Freemasonry, they do not know what they're really involved in. They have secrets, you know. The secrets you can find. The ones involved don't even look. You would think it'd be the other way around, wouldn't it? It's quite opposite. Well, Zbigniew Brzezinski was an advisor to presidents all the way back to Carter and even before. He's got something to say about it that sums it all up.
That for the first time in human history, for the first time in all of human history, almost all of mankind is politically awake. And these new and old major powers face still yet another novel reality, in some respects unprecedented. And it is that while the lethality of their power is greater than ever, their capacity to impose control over the politically awakened masses of the world is at a historical low. I once put it rather pungently, and I was flattered that the British Foreign Secretary repeated this, as follows. Namely, in earlier times, it was easier to control 1 million people, literally. It was easier to control 1 million people than physically to kill 1 million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill 1 million people than to control 1 million people. It is easier to kill than to control.
He said that in a briefing. I got the whole briefing. Now, you'd think that, well, someone that says that's not with God, right? Well, then, when he addresses the Mujahideen that we support then and support even now, the ISIS that we support, that America support, Mossad, MI5, MI6, support ISIS. I've got the evidence on that. It's by their own words. The origin of it goes back to Afghanistan against the Russians. Here's what he tells the Mujahideen in the 1980s. Here in a minute. Wait a minute. That's the first time it got silent on me. Huh. What happened to my video? Well, that's interesting. It got silent on me. Here we go. All right. No, it didn't.
U.S. National Security Advisor Brzezinski flew to Pakistan to set about rallying resistance. He wanted to arm the Mujahideen without revealing America's role. On the Afghan border near the Khyber Pass, he urged the soldiers of God to redouble their efforts.
We know of their deep belief in God, and we are confident that their struggle will succeed. That land over there is yours. You'll go back to it one day, because your fight will prevail. And you'll have your homes and your mosques back again. Because your cause is right and God is on your side.
The purpose of coordinating with the Pakistanis would be to make the Soviets bleed for as much as long as is possible.
It's all part of it. They control it. They lie, man, they lie. They'll pretend like they're godly, then they'll show you they're not. Family, this is every country. In America, they, you know, their own words, when you put it together, and you go after it, and you'll find out what I'm telling you is the truth. You know, I got evidence here from Jim McClurney. Have we helped build ISIS? ISIS, Al-Qaeda, right? Right there, Zygmunt Brzezinski said, we funded them. And their cause is right. Uh-huh. Now I got Hillary Clinton said, we created Al-Qaeda. In two interviews. I got two interviews with her saying it. And then I got another CIA guy who wrote a book, says there's no such thing as Al-Qaeda. He talks about it. And they can't get their story straight. And the only one that gets it straight...
There are reports that there is no evidence of a direct link between Baghdad and some of these terrorist organizations.
There are known knowns. There are things we know we know. We also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things we do not know. But there are also unknown unknowns. The ones we don't know, we don't know.
Excuse me, but is this an unknown unknown?
I'm not
several unknowns, and I'm just wondering.
I'm not going. I'm not going to say which it is.
The Secretary,
you know, I'm right here. I'm right here.
That sums it up right there. You see, they're all full of baloney. In every country, to keep us all confused. Now, am I getting my point across? If I'm missing my point, I need someone to tell me. Because this is how ridiculous it's getting. And you commanders up there that don't know this and not part of it, you better get up to speed. You better get up to speed and know what you're really dealing with. And I try to think of ways that I can get across in a short period of time. I have 2 hours every day. And every 2 hours, I've got to make it self-contained, at the same time, continue on. So it's not easy to get this across to people, because it's a complete rethinking of what we have been led to believe. Suicide is a terrible thing, it's a personal tragedy. It should never happen. And to anyone who's of the opinion that somehow solves anything, there's a couple, happily married couple in the late 40s, and they had two fine children and an expensive new home, and everybody liked them. They even had a large family farm and a number of horses, and they seemed to be modern-day success. One day, the wife lost her job due to a corporate downsizing. Ignoring all that she had, one warm Sunday morning, she went out and hung herself in the horse barn. So did her death really solve anything at all? No, it didn't. It just caused more tragedy. Now, the husband was grieving for his wife nearly a year and went to the local funeral home to make pre-arrangements for his own funeral. Now, an accepted practice in many countries to do that. After filling out all the papers and giving a check for full payment of the unsuspecting funeral director, he went outside, took a 12-gauge shotgun out of his car, and killed himself in the funeral home parking lot. So did his death solve anything? Nope. Couple's two children, the son and the daughter, early 20s, are left without both of their parents and the knowledge of what happened to them. This is common. Now, you had the drug, if I already told you now, and the fact that there's an agenda to make it happen from the governments, plural, do the math on it. God don't support the suicide. I can't go there, really, to tell you what happens, and, you know, that's not part of what I'm talking about today. That is a Bible study, by the way. But if you're born again of the Spirit, Holy Spirit's in you, Holy Spirit is not going to kill itself within you. So then you ask yourself the question, going to church, but then committing suicide, or not going to church committing suicide. Either way, committing suicide, was the person saved in the first place? If they were, they would have been suicide. So I'll let you draw your own conclusion about what happens to the soul when someone commits suicide. Heard it said, well, my uncle committed suicide, but he's not with us today, at least he's in heaven, but really, where did you get that from? Holy Spirit is not going to kill itself within the body. The body is a temple of the soul, temple of God. You got the Holy Spirit. This is from temptation, delivers from evil. That's what it would do. It's tragic about a suicide. There are suicides in the Bible. I'm not going to talk about it now, but King Saul, Samson, Judas Iscariot, circumstances with each one. I'm not going to go over that now. I'm tempted to, but I'm not. It's not Bible study today. But is suicide a sin? The Bible's got things to say about suicide. When you do a study for it. Today, though, we're talking about the attack on the veterans. In my effort to try to get people to understand that there is an attack on the veterans. And why? And they're using the psychiatrist to deliver it. It's not just the psychiatrist. See, they'll blame the psychiatrist. That's where it stops. No, you need to go higher. But just the bottom line, some of the verses that say that it's a sin to kill yourself don't say it in those words exactly. However, first God tells us not to murder, period. We don't have a right to commit suicide and murder our bodies. We didn't create the bodies, and our soul was bought with a price. He doesn't say, don't murder anyone who doesn't want to die. He says, don't murder. It's okay to kill someone if during the fight with them, they come out and tell you to kill them. Their life stinks anyway. Of course not. Is it still murder in God's eyes? So does it make any difference just because you want to die? Don't think so. 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. I got more. I got a lot more. That's why one of the main reasons why suicide is so tragic. First Corinthians 3:16-17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple are ye are. That's why I pray for those that's contemplating suicide, the divine appointments are set up. Every military veteran that dies, they get through life insurance policy that the dependents don't even know about. Plus the money when they were bonded at birth, that's another story, accepted for value. They get that money too. Unbelievable amount of money goes to the government for every dead soldier or marine that the public doesn't know about. That all stirs some people up that know about it, that I told you about it. there's more details about it, but I just want you to kind of think about that one. Family, our servicemen are under attack. To reduce the effectiveness of any response against the UN taking over in the North American Union. Senator Schaefer was murdered by her husband while she slept, and he killed himself, suicide. She was after the corruption of the Child Protective Service, and she was going to nail him too. I've got a study of her report, a copy of her report. But she also was going to try to take down or slow down the move toward the North American Union. And she would have done it too. As I said, she is murdered in the bed, shot in the back by her husband, and he shot himself. They can't decide whether he shot himself in the head or the chest. You get my point. Suicide attempts by Iraq and Afghanistan veterans remains a key area of concern. In 2009, which ended September 30th, there were 1,621 suicide attempts by men, 247 by women who served in Iraq and Afghanistan, with 94 men and 4 women dying. Family, that's not normal. I've been telling you now how they're doing it. I just somehow, I keep panging on this every day now for 12 days, hoping somebody up there will challenge me or help me or something. I don't know. Just hoping the right person hears and makes something happen. You know some causes of post-traumatic stress? Military combat, rape, domestic violence, assault, sexual molestation from children to adult, sexual abuse, a kidnapping, child abuse, severe verbal abuse, terrorism, torture, an automobile accident, airplane accident, a fire, a hurricane, a tornado, animal attack, or a threatening individual with a gun or knife. A major change in somebody's life caused by one of these can result in post-traumatic stress. It can affect people at any age. I got a whole lot of statistics here from my studies and research. The other thing I want to mention are some warning signs for suicide. And then we'll talk about the Hegelian dialectic. Warning signs for a suicide is threatening or to hurt or kill oneself, or talking about wanting to kill someone or oneself. Looking for ways to kill oneself by seeking access to firearms, pills, or other means. Talking or writing about death. Oh. Dying or suicide. When these actions are out of the ordinary for the person. You've got in the schools today a way that they're influencing your children called values clarification. And they also have, I've talked about it before, very sneaky-like in your schools today, going all the way back to whenever you all were young, whoever I'm talking to, don't matter. Was called death education. Writing your obituary for an English course or going to a cemetery or going to a morgue. They have death education, showing you how final it is. And you write your obituary when you're a child. Family, this is by design. Teaching you about death on a regular basis. Now, you add to it the drugs for ADHD, the deaf education, you get yourself a deadly cocktail there. And it's not accidental. That's why you got to talk to your children when they come back from school. Take the time. Find out what the teachers taught them today. Because they're not on their side. I've proven that already. By design. They're trying to take your children, as they did all of us, and train us to accept the New World Order, international acceptance of the New World Order. I got evidence from Chester M. Pierce, doctor from Harvard, when he addressed 2,000 teachers. Other instructors and professors confirming what I'm telling you with their own words. When they feel hopeless, Jesus Christ won't let you feel hopeless. When they feel rage or uncontrolled anger or seeking revenge, it eats you up. It opens up portals. The antidepressant pills makes it even worse. Acting reckless or engaging in risking activities, seemingly without thinking. Feeling trapped. There's no way out. God gives you a way out. Increased alcohol or drug use. Withdrawing from friends, family, or society as a whole. Feeling anxious, agitated, unable to sleep, or sleeping in all the time. And mixed with drugs is even worse. Experiencing dramatic mood changes. Seeking no reason or seeing no reason to live or have no sense of purpose in life. You've got to pay attention to your children for these signs. Be able to spot them, not ignore them. The Wicca gets a hold of your children when they see them downtrodden or depressed. The Wicca can profile. And I mean Wicca. I don't mean adults traveling in the hallways. I'm talking about other 16-year-olds, 15-year-olds trained by their Wicca parents or Wicca administrators on how to identify and profile a potential candidate for Wiccan. How do you know? They start changing their clothing. Friends change. Black fingernail polish. Doodads, knick-knack, paddywhacks, and kind of symbols on their body. Tattoos at certain symbols. Get to know the symbols. Family, you can identify it. Some common misconceptions. People who talk about suicide won't really do it. Almost everyone who commits or attempts suicide is given some clue or warning. Do not ignore suicidal threats. Statements like, you'll be sorry when I'm dead. Don't ignore that and just gaff it off. I don't see any way out. Don't just fluff it off. Anyone who tries to kill himself must be crazy. It's false. Most suicidal persons are not psychotic or insane. They must be upset, grief-stricken, depressed, or despairing, but extreme distress and emotional pain are not necessarily signs of mental illness. What's false is a person is determined to kill himself, nothing's going to stop them. Well, even the most severely depressed person has mixed feelings about death, wavering until the very last moment between wanting to live and wanting to die. Most suicidal persons don't want death. They just want the pain to stop. The impulse to end it all, however overpowering, does not last forever. So in the military, where they have the chips in them, septal implants, they can talk to your son, daughter, wife, husband, while they sleep through technology, voice-to-skull technology. They can hypnotize them while they're sleeping. You won't even hear it. This is old knowledge. All they need is a keyword, trigger word, and they do it. Not everybody can be hypnotized. but the drugs helps it. This is not science fiction. This is not something I read and saw in a movie. This is real. You need the Holy Spirit to override this. Another one, people who commit suicide are people who are were and willing to seek help. No. Studies of suicide victims have shown that more than half had sought medical help in the 6 months prior to their death. Talking about suicide may give someone the idea. You don't give a suicidal person morbid ideas by talking about suicide. The opposite's true, actually. Bringing up the subject of suicide and discussing it openly is one of the most helpful things you can do. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. I don't think I'm done with this. I think we need to end the week talking more about this attack on our military. What do y'all think? You notice I don't have commercials? Not even music. I don't have the time. I got too much. I got a lot to put out. A short period of time. It used to be 3 hours long. But let's try to condense it the best I can and simplify it. Because what we're involved in is real. Some people don't like to hear about it. But unless you know what the problem is, you're not going to be able to deal with it. What if I told you that the version of history that you were taught in school was heavily revised to favor your own nation's agenda while hiding its crimes? And doing so fostered an unrealistic sense of false patriotism used to manufacture your allegiance to a corporate entity masquerading as your government. Did you get that? That's exactly what's going on. There's one thing that Barbados has that's common with the North American continent. Excuse me, with America. Barbados. Yeah. Barbados is a colony of England, subject to the Queen. And guess what there, America? So are you. We're like one big Barbados. Yeah. And you'll notice you have prime ministers and presidents, don't you? Why not a king? Why not King Obama? Why not King Bush or King Clinton? Why not? Well, I'll tell you why. Because we're a colony of England, like Barbados, Canada, Israel, and Australia. We're all colonies, like Barbados. We are a corporate entity with a president and a CEO. Yeah. That's why there's no such thing as impeachment. It's to placate us. You see, the basic premise adhered to by the people, the movement, and the people in the sovereign movement, whatever, the government is a corporation actually functioning as a federal government. So it doesn't have to follow the Constitution, and there's not one anyway. Also, it doesn't matter if Obama or Bush or Hillary Clinton in the future is not a natural-born citizen, Obama in this case. Doesn't matter. They've got you all chasing your tails thinking Obama's not a natural-born citizen, birth certificate, Sheriff Arpaio. He's full of nonsense like the rest of them. They've got you busy. He's part of the enemy as well, pretending to be a patriot, and he's not at all. See, it doesn't have to follow the Constitution. It's a corporation that Obama and every president's the head of. They should know this. The corporation gets the permission of the people to to reign over them by deceit. And that's done by wording of the birth certificates, Social Security card, driver's license, IRS forms, marriage certificates, licenses, and other documents. They refer to the person in all capital letters. That means the name represents a corporate entity. That's how the corporation court gets jurisdiction over us. See, the courts don't fly the real American flag. They use a military or admiralty flag, and that's for discourse. You can read about that yourself. You see, so everything is not what it appears to be. Now, that being said, Hegelian dialectic, rules of engagement, and adjustments is how history is already created and pre-planned in every single case, every single war, every single movement since the day this country ever started. The revolutionaries and the governments controlled by the Vatican, which is controlled by the Italian Illuminati, Roman, not Jews. I had to throw that in there because I know there's Christian Identity and other white supremacist groups that say, well, it's a Jewish conspiracy. That's just your distraction. The Muslims are this, that, and the other. That's another distraction. It's the secret societies. The Illuminati that are Roman, Italian, and German. Who owns the money? The Irish do. Knights Templar. See, the revolutionaries in government, which we're talking about now, they create economic chaos. Shortages in food by design and fuel. They confiscate confiscatory taxation. A crisis in education, a threat of war, other diversions to condition Americans for the New World Order. That's what this is all about. Well, Charles A. Lindbergh was banging on Congress about, and they warned him to stop, and then to make sure that he knew, they kidnapped his son and murdered him about a mile and a half from the house. Lindbergh's fathers said that all depressions, recessions, inflationary periods are planned and created before they ever happen by design. Depressions and all these things are created and planned like you would a checkbook. Now, this technique called the Hegelian dialectic. Rules of engagement determine the outcome of all wars before they ever get started. I've proven that over and over again. Every war was started with a false flag. McNamara confirms Gulf of Tonkin never happened. Several congressmen confirmed the sinking of the Maine was a deliberate attempt of the U.S. government to provide a justification to get in the Spanish-American War. Pearl Harbor was planned in the mid-1920s by FDR, Churchill, and the Japanese elite working together. With Yamamoto as an ensign, as a go-between, when he went to Harvard, 1920s, they planned Pearl Harbor and then tested it in 1932. They knew a good 10 years. And that's documented by quotes, dates, names, times, places, whatever. Every single war. So if they plan a false flag, you know they've got the war planned, and they use the rules of engagement to speed up or slow down or blockade or something to cause us to control the outcome of the war. They did in Korea. They did in Vietnam. I've explained that the past 3-4 days. I'm not going to go back over it. With virtually irrefutable evidence. So that puts a whole crypt in the style of military history, military strategy. You generals out there that are good guys and planning, It don't matter how much planning you do. It don't matter how much of single envelopment of a regiment you do. It don't matter how much fire support you have. The outcome is already determined before you ever go to combat. Now, me as a former Marine, I got a real problem with that, because that opens up a whole area of consideration about the deaths of in Arlington. When a war is already planned, the outcome already determined, that throws a whole wrinkle in the whole process, now, don't it? And I can explain every one of them, too. If I can, so can anybody else. So what do? Rules of engagement determines the effect or what's going to happen in the war is already determined. Hegelian dialectic, that's another tactic, another strategy. Brings about a change in the three-step process. The thesis, the antithesis, and the synthesis. So the first step is create a problem. Second step, the antithesis, is to generate the opposition to the problem. Fear, panic, hysteria, whatever. And the third step, the synthesis, is to offer the solution to the problem created by step one. Also known as problem, reaction, solution. They create the problem. They anticipate or engineer the reaction using the fear, panic, and hysteria. And they have the solution that they know you're going to pick. It's the only one. And that solution becomes the next thesis. Then they have the next antithesis, and that's how they plan history. Then they write about it and lie. And that's how it's always been in America. So after the synthesis to offer the solution to the problem created by step one, there's a change which would have been impossible to impose upon the people without the proper psychological conditioning achieved in stages one and two. What does that mean? Well, in 1885, they started demonizing the Jews. Blamed it. 1904, before World War II, is the Jews that broke Germany, as they led people to believe. Therefore, justifying the German people to support a war against the Jews. Pearl Harbor, we didn't want to bother anybody over these, we don't care. And FDR said, I'll not send your boys to war. That liar knew in 1925 he's going to have a war. I got a quote from him directly March 4th, 1939, confirming, we'll solve this unemployed condition with a war and a war only. As of 1939, he said that behind closed doors. How's he going to establish a dictatorship? He already said that in the quote. Lied through his collective teeth, as they all have. So applying this Hegelian dialectic before these events ever happen, irresistible financial influence, concealed change agents seeking to dismantle the social and political structures beforehand by which free men govern themselves. You have ancient landmarks erected at great cost in blood and treasure. Take down the old ones. It's all planned out. Their objective is to emasculate sovereign states, merge nations into a universal government, centralize economic power, control the world's people and resources under one religion, under one financial standard, under one government. Family, they're already past the advanced stages, long way past. Only problem now is to get people to accept it. Eliminate the ones that don't. That's all that's left. With the right instant, it's already in place. Boom. And when they do it, it's to their undoing. because God is already ahead of them. It's not about the war, not about global warming, it's not about racism, it's not about abortion rights or homosexual rights recession. It's about a Marxist revolution. It's called the World Revolutionary Plan. Alexander King and Bertrand Schneider in 1991, in the first global resolution, a report by the Council of the Club of Rome, which is a member of the Round Table, which encompassed the United Nations, Council of Foreign Relations, Royal Institute of National Affairs, Trilateral Commission after 1973, Club of Rome, of course, and the Bilderberg Group, and some other cats and dogs that call themselves elite. The Club of Rome is just another organization within that group. I quote Alexander King and Bertrand Schneider report. Says, begin quote, in searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. In their totality, in their interactions, these phenomena do constitute a common threat which demands the solidarity of all people. But in designating them as the enemy, we fall into the trap about which we've already warned, namely mistaking systems for causes. All these dangers are caused by human intervention. It's only through changed attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself, unquote. So how do you change attitude and behaviors? You start at 5 years old. When you start at 5 years old, that means the child has left the mother's matrix, as in the first grade. 1973, Dr. Pierce of Harvard University, talking to 2,000 teachers in 1973 in a teacher's conference. He said, and I quote, every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill. They come to school with certain allegiances toward our founding fathers, toward our elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in the supernatural being, toward the sovereignty of the nation as a separate entity. It's up to you teachers to make all these sick children well by creating international children of the future, unquote. That's what he said to them. 2,000 witnesses heard him say it. David Rockefeller said, quote, we're on the verge of global transformation. All we need is a right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new world order. So they've got to work on your children to bring us together into a new world order. So to do that, they must show the evil to get rid of it. They've got to show the evil. And when you show them the evil that they've caused, once you've got it all laid out, then you have them to want to solve the evil and get rid of it. But everybody work together. Well, that sounds like a good thing, don't it? Problem is, working together toward a new world order. That's a problem. That's a big problem. Because the wrong people are in control. That's what I'm trying to warn people about. You say, what kind of people? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. You see, that's the formula right there. And that's the one they don't want you to know about. You say, well, I just don't believe in God. Well, that doesn't matter. The ones that's doing this, they do. And they fear God, but they also believe in Satan. And then Satan's the one they follow. No matter what you believe. And they follow him through the through the secret societies. So they targeted your children to change your thinking. There's a video that came out of a show was done at a school. And it's called The Old McDonald's. Now, I had that thing laid up here, but I can't find it right now. I don't think I have enough time to play it. I'll probably do it tomorrow. And it's quite amazing. They changed the, it's called the McDonald's. I think tomorrow's a better time to play it. When I present to you a little bit more about the Hegelian dialectic. If you're able to identify this, you can see through the TV and reports and so forth, the facade that they're putting out and will not be affected by it. See, that's the whole idea. Is to be able to identify these things and these tricks and not be manipulated by your emotions by them. That's the whole idea. So the new McDonald, we'll play that for you tomorrow when I talk about this again. And you'll see where, how they're manipulating the children. It's almost classic. They talk about GMO products in the song New McDonald. Old McDonald at a farm. Okay. They talk about the spraying. It's quite ingenious how they manipulate the chickens and all that. And you can see the faces on the parents as they're watching this. Like, this, what are they doing this for? This is depressing. And then it shows the new McDonald when they come out all together. They're not doing the GMO anymore and they've gotten rid of the spraying, and everybody's happy. But they're not telling them that who's in charge is still in charge. It's called placating. Until you change the leadership. And the only way to do that is 2 Chronicles 7:14. That's the real answer. Because until you change the leadership, and God is the one that changes the leadership. Because on both sides, not good guys. Both sides, it's called the Hegelian dialectic. They play both sides, ends against the middle. In every single case. If you play chess, you got to know what the moves of the enemy can be to counter them. Do you not? Ignoring it's not going to make it go away. So, it has been slowed down on many occasions. So the problem reaction solution paradigm, the government creates or exploits a problem, blaming it to others. The people react by asking the government for help, willing to give up their rights. The government offers a solution was planned long before the crisis. And that's how everything is done. Nero burnt Rome, blamed it on the Christians. Then savagely butchered them. Nero. USS Maine sank in Havana Harbor, launching the U.S. in the Spanish-American War. The blowing up of the battleship Maine on the evening of 15 February was a critical event on the road of the war. Navy Department formed a board of inquiry to determine the reason for the Maine's destruction. The verdict was announced and the American public reacted with predictable outrage. Destruction of the Maine did not cause the U.S. to declare war on Spain, but it served as a catalyst, accelerating the approach to a diplomatic impasse. In addition, the sinking and deaths of U.S. sailors rallied American opinion more strongly behind armed intervention. But you know what? Technical experts at the time of both investigations disagreed with the findings. They believed that spontaneous combustion of coal in the bunker adjacent to the reserve 6-inch magazine was the most likely cause of the explosion aboard the ship. 1976, Admiral Rickover published his book, How the Battleship Maine Was Destroyed. It found out that it was caused. It's a false flag. Family, got 2 minutes to go, and we'll continue this tomorrow and end up tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit more about the Gideon dialectic, a little bit more on suicide and attack on our veterans. I think that that should end the week on this 26th of February, 2015. I try to present in a very short period of time. 2 hours is not enough. 10 hours a week is not enough to try to get across and try to undo or try to influence in some way what they do on TV, and they lie. And on a lot of the news, a lot of broadcasts, and a lot of the people that's written books and all this are just full of baloney. Giving you 80% truth and 20% misdirection. That's very frustrating. The bankers are doing it. Not the bankers, it's who's controlling the bankers. It's a psychiatrist doing this. No, it's not. It's who's controlling the psychiatrist. I get down to the meat of it. Tomorrow we'll continue on. Tonight, Bible study. We'll talk about the lost tribes of Israel again and some more information. I do want to remind you, though, that my broadcast and my Bible studies are played up at highportradio.net, highportradio.net also. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. He has sponsors that keeps him going with those towers that he manages those three states and his network. So if you have need for their services, you can find out the sponsors on his website, highportradio.net, and use them. Also, my website is watchmanforjesus.com. And my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. I'll be on tonight, 8 to 9, for Bible study. And then tomorrow, 4 to 6, we're going to hit the ground running. I want to play for you tomorrow the McDonald's song and sort of give you an idea how they're manipulating parents. And it's only about 5 minutes long or something like that. It's short. But we'll talk tomorrow a little bit more about their plan, the dialectic, and how they're pulling this thing off. Tomorrow. A little bit of everything. So, family, any questions, whatever, you can contact me at my website. My Facebook. That's where I monitor it the most. Watchman for Jesus. And any comments, recommendations, or otherwise. I appreciate y'all coming by today. And we shall conclude here. And I'll see y'all tonight if you want to join my Bible study. Family, I try to bring this to you all on a silver platter if I can. But you got to do your own research. You got to pray about this. And if you don't have a link with Jesus Christ, you better do it. Time's coming. And get a prayer life with him. Bring your families back together. Renounce the blood oath if you're Freemason. Man, get out of there. You got to get out of there and loose those chains that bind you, because they've got you bound. Y'all have a good night. God bless. Know that Jesus Christ is coming back. And there's nothing or no one or whatever You can hear Gideon dialectic all day long. It's not going to stop him. The only question is, whose side you going to be on when he gets here? Whose side you going to be on if death precedes it, his return? Because death determines where you end up. Take Jesus Christ as your Savior. Y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. And we'll see you tonight or tomorrow. This is Tom Campbell. I'm your watchman. Have a good night and God bless.
Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Every day.